Pastor Dave. Sunday morning, 8th of March, 2026. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 25. Titled, No One Like Him, Part 9. From the series in Mark called No One Like Him.
Our dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, here are the words of the Lord Jesus written for us. May they be our light and our lamp and our life. To the glory of his name. Amen. Are we doing something wrong? Are we doing something wrong? Is God's church doing something wrong? So week by week, churches around the country, churches around the world, they speak about Jesus, don't they? And they tell of the wonderful things that God has done. And about the Lord Jesus' rescue. And week by week, people speak to their friends and their family about Jesus. They share with them how good God is. Each week, people who don't yet worship the Lord Jesus come along to those churches and hear the good news. And yet, each week, many, many of them go away and it has made no difference. They do not repent. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus. Indeed, each week people don't even go to church because it's hard work. Or they'll face hostility. Or maybe they'd just rather mow the lawn or paint the house or go to the beach or go shopping. And each week the message of Jesus doesn't do what we think it ought to do and what we hope it would do. And it's personal, isn't it? That we have our friends and our families. And we would love, we'd so love for them to embrace the message of Jesus. And yet as we talk to them, nothing seems to happen. Are we doing something wrong? Is there something wrong with the message? But that isn't just a question for us and for churches today, is it? There's a question for Jesus. Because you think we've read everything we've seen in Mark. By Mark chapter 4, he ought to be massive, shouldn't he? He preached to great crowds of people. He has to get in a boat to stop them crowding him. He's declared this great message of forgiveness from sin. He's told people, here is something new, not just the old religious way of doing things. But it doesn't seem to have got him very far. The religious leaders hate him. The crowd, they're more bothered about healing than listening. And as we're going to go on, we'll see even his 12 closest followers, they still don't seem to get it. So it's not just us that's doing something wrong. You think, well, Jesus is doing something wrong as well, isn't he? Why don't the words of Jesus have more power and more impact? And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins to answer that, to explain what's going on as his message spreads, and to challenge those listening, those people like us. So as we listen to this, we need to hear Jesus' challenge. And you'll see, Jesus explains what's going on by means of a parable. And so I just want to spend a minute or two talking about parables. So here's a kind of helpful way to think about parables. Let me show you a cartoon. We've got the first cartoon. There we go. So a common view of parables is they're a bit like this cartoon. So they're a really simple way of getting a truth across. They make something concrete with illustrations so we get it. This is not a complicated cartoon, is it? Anyone need me to explain it to them? Adam's like, yeah. So what it is, no, you don't, do you? You're pulling my leg. That would kill the joke, wouldn't it? You get the idea. And some of Jesus' illustrations are like that, aren't they? When he talks about a camel and the eye of a needle, you don't need anyone to explain that. And it's funny. So some of what Jesus says is like this. But as he explains parables. Let me read to you verses 11 to 12. Jesus told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So it's a reference to Isaiah chapter 6. And to Isaiah's work in speaking to a group of people who were hard-hearted, who didn't want to hear what God had to say. So a group of people quite like those listening to Jesus. Ever like us? You see what Jesus is saying? He's not saying, I'm going to talk in parables always because that'll be easier to understand. He's saying, I'm going to talk in parables because it's harder to understand. So then you actually have to work to listen and to hear and to understand. And listening to a parable is like a sieve, like a sifting process. Insiders sifted from outsiders. So it's not like that cartoon. Let me show you the next cartoon. Now, you look at it at a first glance, you can see what's happening. So there's two guys and they're chopping up the world. And you think, okay, I get that. Look, you look a bit closer. Who's that guy? Trump. Yeah, that's right. Well done. And who's that guy? Musk. It is Elon Musk. And you think, okay, what's going on? What's happening? I don't understand. Well, these people are dividing the world. You look up in the middle, you've got Greenland and Europe, and you think, oh, hang on, they're dividing up the world. You've got Trump, and what's on his hat? Yeah, make America great again. You think, okay, there's something going on with that. And you start to work it out. And then you think a little deeper, and you might recognize this cartoon is familiar. So can we have the next one? So this is a reasonably well-known cartoon drawn in the 19th century. And here is Pitt the Younger, and here's Napoleon, dividing up the world between them. And you start to think, oh, well, why has he linked these two cartoons together? What's going on? What's the point that he's trying to make? Do I agree with it? I'm not so sure. And you get the point. This is not the same as the dog cartoon, is it? And yet it's not meaningless. Let's have the other one back on, please, Marcus. It's not meaningless. There's loads packed in there. But the more you dig in, the more you explore, the more you understand the background, the more you get out of it. And then you think, well, do I agree with it? And the point is that lots of Jesus' parables, they're more like this cartoon than the dog. It is sifting. Are you digging? Are you exploring? Are you thinking? Are you reflecting? Oh, you think, no, it's too complicated. I don't want to bother. That parables divide those who want to understand and those who don't. So as we read this section of Mark, it is an explanation and it's a challenge. What happens as people hear Jesus' words? But what happens when we hear Jesus' words? As we read this Bible passage, as we hear this sermon, we hear the words of Jesus. The seed is being sown into our hearts. Jesus is speaking directly to you. What are you going to do? Which soil are you? Well, let's recap the details then. The farmer sows the word. A picture of sharing the word of God with other people. And it's a lovely picture, isn't it? First and foremost about Jesus sharing the word, but then churches, indeed all Christians, trying to speak God's word to other people. If you've ever tried sharing God's truth with someone outside, ever tried sharing something with the Bible, even if you were scared, even if you didn't think you were very good at it, every time you've tried to share, that is sowing the word of God, the farmer sows the word. And the seed lands, doesn't it, in four different types of soil. So it lands along the path. that in some people, as the word of God is heard, it's snatched away by Satan straight away. We've seen Satan before in Mark, haven't we? That Jesus has come to plunder Satan the strong man's house. But here we see, as the word of God is sown, Satan is active, snatching it away before it can grow. And have we not seen that? I guess most of us have seen that, haven't we? That we've tried to talk to people, talk about church, talk about faith, and it goes nowhere. It's like talking to a brick wall. It's like, well, talking to a rocky path, isn't it? The seed just bounces off and is pecked off. And it's awful. But it isn't that we've done something wrong. That our role is to sow by speaking. The second soil is the shallow and the rocky soil. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they've no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. And maybe you've seen that as well. That people, your friends, your family have shown an interest in Jesus. But once they realize what his words are going to mean, not so bothered. Once they realize his words might make us unpopular, I'm not bothered this week. And the initial interest dies away. The word dries up and dies. I'm sure many of us have seen that, and we are not us doing something wrong. Living God's way is not popular. It will bring trouble. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I wonder sometimes if this soil, these people, are even more discouraging than the last. You might see them in church occasionally. You might speak to them occasionally, but there's always something else going on, isn't there? The house needs to be sorted. The holiday needs to be booked. This Sunday was the only time they could get to the gym, or they needed to be at that family catch-up. I'll be there next week. And like weeds growing round the tender plant, all the fears and anxieties, these folk never progress. They never make it into membership in the church. They never make it to home group. There's always something going on. All the lovely and busy and troubling things of the world squish the life out of them. And it's not the fault of the word. It's not that we're doing something wrong or Jesus is doing something wrong. The plant that is growing into the kingdom of God is squeezed out. And finally, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I'll tell you about someone that I met. So about it was about a week and a half ago, and I went on a kind of a Kent Gospel Partnership training event. And I met there, and a chap introduced himself and said, "Do you remember me?" And it was a man that I'd met, and I can remember when it was. It was 19 years ago that I'd last seen him. Obviously, I was very young at the time. And when I'd last seen him, I'd probably known him about 9 months, and we would meet up and read the Bible together. I would disciple him a bit, and we'd talk about the Bible and applying it to our lives. And then I didn't see him again, and I didn't see him for 19 years. And he was a young man and busy with university. So I wonder what difference this will make. And I met him, and I said, "Oh, this is wonderful. What are you doing?" And it was so great. Not only was he going on with the Lord Jesus, he was helping teach other people as well. So he works as the internationals worker in a really big church over in West Kent. And he works with families coming over from Hong Kong, and he reads the Bible with them, and he encourages them to follow Jesus. And it was so exciting to think, well, we've had this little bit of contact, and others have been involved as well and sown the word, And there it is. Folk trying in a small and humble way to share God's word, and there will be, in some, a great crop. A wonderful crop. And this picture of what Jesus is saying. That these seeds are planted, and God's word will bring a great crop. That God's word will bring a great crop, won't it? How does that reflect on what we're doing? Well, it keeps us realistic and it keeps us optimistic. It keeps us realistic to explain what's going on as we make Jesus known. That's what we want to do, isn't it? That's why we're here, to make Jesus known. These two big areas of our mission, to make Jesus known in Biddenden and to make Jesus known to those around us that we know. That's what we're trying to do, isn't it? To make Jesus known to Biddenden and those around us. And as we do that, some people will respond. Some people will show interest and it won't last. Some people will come for a while and it won't get anywhere. And some people will come to faith and it will bring a great crop. And if these things happen, and if we see no interest, or we see it grow and then die, it's not because we're doing something wrong. There's not some magic form of words that if we just hit on it, everybody will respond. As the word of God is sown, as Jesus is made known, some will respond. And devastatingly, some will not. And that is to do with the soil, not with us. Now, that's not an excuse. We don't need to put our feet up. It doesn't say don't bother trying. The farmer goes out and sows the word, doesn't he? We work hard at what we're doing, but it's to do with the soil and not with us. And yet that makes us optimistic, doesn't it? There will be some who hear God's word and it will grow. And it will take deep roots and it will grow to a great crop, 30, 60, 100 fold. A crop of love and grace and kingdom fruit. That, friends, some people that we talk to will come to faith. And just like my friend, we might not see it. Maybe I wouldn't have come to that training thing and I never would have seen him till glory. We might not see the crop, but Jesus promises that some of the seed that's sown will grow. We talked about this at our last outreach evening. The encouragements from a recent survey that 20% of people at least would go to church if a friend asked them. 20% of people want to know more about Jesus and the Bible. They want to know more. There is good soil out there. That's why we keep sowing. I thought specifically, I was talking to Sarah this morning about the Sunday school. This is a real encouragement to those who serve faithfully week on week in our creche and our Sunday school. I'm sure some weeks are lovely and they're keyed into your every word, right? Some weeks are like that, I'm sure. Maybe some weeks are not so much like that. And you think, what's the point of this? What is the point of this? I want you to put your hand up if you went to Sunday school. You don't need to be embarrassed. Yeah, not everybody did. Lots of us did. You think you could go back to your Sunday school teacher and say, you know that seed that you planted? Look how it's grown. And now I'm planting the seed to the next generation. That as we plant that seed into young hearts, there is hope that it will grow and make a great crop. And some of our Sunday school and some of our creche might go on to be the next generation's Bible teachers and evangelists and Sunday school teachers. What you're doing is so great that God's word brings a great crop. Well, it'd be nice to finish there, wouldn't it? End of story. Let's have a bit of explanation. We can have lunch now. But the passage won't let us do that, will it? Because it's not just an explanation. It's a challenge, isn't it? God's word can bring a great crop. But are you listening? Are you listening? Verse 9. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 24, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken. It is so clear. Are you listening? I don't just mean, are you here this week? Are you watching this week? You obviously are, otherwise I wouldn't be speaking to you. I don't mean whether you'd say you're a Christian or not. The shallow soil looked great to start with, didn't it? Are you personally making an effort to listen to God's word and to understand it and to put it into practice? With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you are listening and engaging and wrestling with God's word, great, great treasures of wisdom and joy open up before us. But if we're not listening and engaging, even what we do have will end up empty. There's a real gap in this passage, isn't there? That we've seen growing around the Lord Jesus between those who listen and those who don't. Not just those who are around the buzz of Jesus, those who listen and those who don't. Those who are in Jesus' kingdom and those who are outside. It's not to do with what chair you're sitting on. It's whether you're listening. That's why we talked about those cartoons earlier, that as we take time to investigate and to reflect and to engage, only then do we get something out of that. Without it, it's just two blokes with knives. Are we listening and engaging with God's word? And I want us to be encouraged in this church because there are so many wonderful signs that we're doing this. So you're here. You're here this Sunday listening to God's word. You're ready to turn out when there's a million things you could do. You're ready to sit for half an hour. At least to listen to God's word. That's a really great thing. Loads of churches, you might get 10 minutes and that's enough. You've chosen to come to a church where you get half an hour at least. You've chosen to be part of a church where the sole employee, his main job is Bible teaching. So most of my time is spent looking at God's word to teach it. And you've chosen to support me in that. Loads of you come to host home groups. You're wrestling with God's word. You took books on reading God's word at Christmas. You read them. I know you did because I've talked to you about them. This is a church of sacrifice and service and all these signs that we are listening to God's word and putting it into practice. And I look out and I see people listening intently. I think here is a church that will bear fruit. And this helps us, doesn't it? This shapes us as a church on Sundays. We're not ashamed that the sermon forms the biggest part of our Sundays. We're not planning to switch our Sundays to a long-term discussion group. We're not planning that our Sunday mornings would be just a kind of singing morning. None of those are bad things. They're wonderful. But it is the Word of God that brings the fruit. The Word of God that brings the fruit. So following on from this sermon, we're going to make a change. We're going to start putting Bibles out in the service. So we're going to start putting Bibles out on the seats for folk to look at during the sermon. Now, I know that won't necessarily help everybody. Maybe reading is a struggle or perhaps you physically struggle holding a Bible. That's okay. It's not a demand. But if you've got a Bible and you can read along, that is helpful to hear and engage and wrestle with the word of God. But having thought about church, what about you? What about you? How are you doing? How am I doing at listening to God's word and bringing a good crop? What about if you're not sure? What about if you're here and you're uncertain? How are you listening? Are you listening? and reflecting and weighing and sifting. When Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Are you hearing the word of God? That's how you become the good soil that bears fruit. It is to listen and understand and put it into practice. When we come to church, when we hear God's word, it's not like a kind of lecture in quantum theory or a podcast on the history of the Premier League. You could take them or leave them, couldn't you? Unless you've got a particularly tricky pub quiz, it doesn't matter if you listen to those. This is the word of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Do not let Satan snatch it away. But what about those of us who would say we've been Christians for ages? Are we still listening to Jesus and wrestling with his words and engaging with them and putting them into practice? Well, let's think of some helpful questions. How are you doing it? Engaging with his word on Sundays? Do you come to church with a sense of expectation? What is God going to say? Can you remember on Monday or Tuesday, what did God say to me on Sunday? When was the last time you consciously remember changing what you thought or said or did because of what God had said? I realize some sermons are more memorable than others. Okay, so some of them are easy to forget. But what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Or is it possible that you're not here or you're not listening because the worries of this life are choking the word and making it unfruitful? Now, we don't want to make anyone feel falsely guilty, okay? There are loads of weeks that we'd like to be here, but we can't be. I understand that. But are there weeks that we could be here, but we're not bothering? Is the word of God growing within us? I don't know about you. You're probably a lot better than me, but I find this in the mornings when I'm trying to have a kind of time of reflection with God. Probably like lots of you, I try and do that in the morning. And it's amazing, isn't it, how all the things that are not important are suddenly important. Anyone found this? Probably a lot better. Oh gosh, have we fed the cat? Have you fed the cat? That's so much more important. I need to sort the washing out. What's coming up today? I think all these tools that Satan is using to try and snatch away the word of God and choke the word in my heart and make it unfruitful. One of my friends got herself, a little while ago, she got herself a personal motto and she wrote it down. She wrote down, no Bible, no breakfast. Okay, no Bible, no breakfast. If her time in the morning was limited, she would devote it to the word of God rather than her breakfast. And maybe you think, well, it's a bit extreme. That sounds a bit legalistic. This was one of the most godly ladies that I knew. She'd been through such a difficult time in her personal life. Her family was so hard. And she was such a joyful lady because her roots were deep in God's word. Now, we should be really clear about this. We're not saying we just read the Bible more and more and more. That's not really what we're saying. We're saying partly because for lots of the church in the past, most people couldn't read. We're saying reflect and engage and prayerfully wrestle with what God has said. Praying that God's word would go deep. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Occasionally, I preach in other churches, and you can tell what they think of God's word when you're at the front. You can tell. Do you find this? You can tell. And I preached in one church, and it was amazing. The place was really full. And when I stood up, you could feel the expectation. You could feel the expectation of those folk there that God himself was going to speak to them. Because the leaders and the preachers had created that. The church wanted to hear what God had to say. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. So this parable, it leaves us as sowers and it leaves us as hearers. We sow the word in our meal with a message, in our coffee plus, in our times with our friends. We sow the word in the hope that it brings a crop. And as hearers, we hear the word. Are we paying attention? Are we listening? With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There is a great promise that under God, as we hear the word and as we bring it into our hearts, it will bring a great crop in our lives.